Welcome, everybody, to the 4130 Show. My name is AJ Gretz. I am lead pastor here at South Granville Church. With me, as always, my friend and co-conspirator, Ben Netz.
Hey, hey.
Ben, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Good. It's fall.
Finally.
It's really fall.
Yeah.
It's finally happening. I'm very excited.
It'll be here for about 4 hours, and then we'll get snow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're glad to have you with us, and we want to say thank you to those who have been listening to the first couple of episodes. This has been a fun project for us, and it's been fun to hear from some of you as well. Before we kind of get into our main topic for today, Ben, I know that we've got some listeners who are new to podcasting in general, and I was curious if you had a recommendation for something that somebody's like, hey, I like this whole podcast thing. What else should they be listening to?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go back to my old standby, and that's the Stuff You Should Know podcast.
That's a classic.
Yep. They've been around for 10 years or more, maybe, and they cover pretty much everything from like Dr. Seuss to nuclear bombs to anything in between, which, yeah, that's a pretty wide spectrum.
Yeah. And they're just kind of pulling research off of the internet, right? They're not actually experts on anything.
No, exactly. Yeah. A lot of the things you'll hear is useless knowledge, but some of it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's my favorite kind of knowledge, so that's good.
Right.
I would say a couple things. If you're interested in something that's maybe helpful spiritually, we're big fans of the Bible Project, which is an organization that's been putting these videos together that kind of walks through different books of the Bible. And that's a really great way, especially if you're a visual learner, to kind of learn the big picture story of Scripture. But they also do podcasts, and oftentimes they will kind of record these conversations as they're figuring out what they're going to talk about in a certain video, and those can be kind of fun to listen to.
Sure.
Another one, a fun one that I like, is called The Omnibus Project. It's two guys, Ken Jennings, if you remember him from Jeopardy, and then this guy, John Roderick, who's a musician, and they kind of frame it as a time capsule, but instead of important things, it's kind of useless trivia from history. So they did an episode about the Noid from Domino's, if you remember that.
Yeah.
They did an episode about Milli Vanilli. They did an episode about sliced bread. And again, I'm just kind of a sucker for useless trivia like that.
Nice. One podcast that I'm kind of into just recently is called The Pursuit of Manliness.
Ooh.
Yeah, it has a beard for the logo, right? What they describe their podcast is raising the standard of what it means to be a man of God. So they kind of talk about all kinds of normal stuff that every guy goes through on every kind of normal day.
Was that your inspiration for growing a beard?
No, you were.
Oh.
No, I just got too lazy.
Yeah.
And it started turning into a beard, so I'm like, I'm just going to roll with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow. Thumbs up for sure. So this week, we're continuing our series in Acts, and on Sunday, we read through chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. That's a long passage, and we're not going to read the whole thing here, so I'll just kind of summarize what we talked about quickly. This is kind of continuing the story we heard last week. So Peter and John are still at the temple. They've healed the guy who wasn't able to walk. And this whole kind of commotion draws the attention of a group called the Sadducees, who are Jewish leaders in charge of the temple area. And they're not really happy about what's happened. They've been opposed to Jesus and his ministry, and now they're opposed to the early church. And so they try to get Peter and John to stop talking about Jesus and what he's done. But Peter and John really just stand firm in the face of some opposition. They refuse to back down. They're very committed to the idea that Jesus is the way to salvation and the way to know God. And when they're threatened, Peter and John say, look, if it's a choice between obeying you and obeying God, we're going to obey God every time. So in the sermon, we talked about our own discomfort with confrontation and with difficult conversations and how we respond when people maybe think about us differently because of our faith. And we're trying to encourage our congregation to be more open and maybe even a bit more expressive about their faith, while at the same time acknowledging that we don't want to be obnoxious, we don't want to be aggressive or, unkind to people who think differently, but we do want to create space in our relationships for conversations about faith. If we believe this is as important as we think it is, then it makes sense we would want to talk about it and be open about it. So Ben, one of the things that happens in the story is Peter and John make their impassioned speech. They proclaim Jesus as the way to know God. And the Sadducees acknowledge that a miracle's happened, but they're not really interested or willing to consider what they have to say. They remain hardened against the message of the gospel. So when you read the story and you kind of see the response Peter and John get, would you say that that they were successful, that they were quote-unquote effective as witnesses given the kind of lack of response that they experience?
I think it depends on who you ask in that context. For both of them to sort of stick to the truth and the things that they believe, I think from their perspective they were successful, but maybe from the Sadducees they were just like, meh. On to the next thing. We don't have time for these guys.
Yeah. It's just so interesting to me that they acknowledge, like, look, a man has been healed. Like, it is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they spend the next few verses saying, like, how do we get these guys to stop talking about Jesus?
Right.
They're just so closed to the idea that they're wrong.
Right.
Which, you know, never happens to you and I, but.
Mm-mm. Never. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I'm never wrong.
Exactly. But I feel like success in a case like this isn't really about how other people respond. It's really about Peter and John and what they say, and in the face of pressure, that they're able to remain faithful and remain consistent in their testimony about Jesus. And I think a lot of times we get caught up thinking, I got to find the magic words, or I got to fix that person's problems, that it's up to me to kind of help somebody see things differently or change something about their life. But what this passage reminds us of is that God is mostly concerned with us and how we respond and whether or not we're faithful. And so I think Peter and John were very successful, even though, from what it appears, none of the Sadducees actually changed their mind about anything.
Right. And I'm not sure that they were even setting out to change any minds. They were just saying, look,
right,
this is it.
Right. Yeah, we mentioned that on Sunday, that they didn't walk into this room and start pointing fingers and saying, this is why you're wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong.
Right.
They got kind of challenged and they got asked. And when they were asked, they said, well, this is why this happened. This happened because of Jesus. You asked, so I'm going to tell you. And I think sometimes Christians read this or passages like this and we start to think, yeah, I need to walk around and tell my friends why they're wrong, which is so off-putting.
Yeah, it's almost what the Sadducees were good at.
Yeah, that's true. So along those lines, I'm curious, where's the line between being open and honest about your faith, being kind of willing to talk about it and share it, but also not being obnoxious, you know, not being aggressive, not being unnecessarily off-putting to people?
Yeah, I think there is a line, and I think it's pretty obvious between being helpful or being obnoxious. The obnoxious might go as far as growing your beard even longer, standing on a soapbox with a sign that says John 3:16, pointing at people, telling them that they're sinners. I think that just gives Christianity a bad rap. But on the flip side, when you can be observant and waiting for the opportunity to share your faith, having a plan ready to go with what exactly it is you believe and ready to say those things firmly, I think that that kind of message can be heard in a different way than it would be some guy, you know, down at the Van Andel being all crazy.
Yeah. So when I was in college, there was a group of people who would come to our campus and it was just like that. They did the whole thing with signs and they would point at people and yell at them and say, you know, you're smoking, you're going to hell, your skirt's too short, you're going to hell. And I just remember thinking, Who is hearing that and wants to hear more? You know, who wants to hang out with these people after hearing that kind of a message? And so we would kind of get together with other Christian students and end up like apologizing or trying to engage with these people and just say, you know, what you're doing is not helping. It's not making people on campus more interested in Christianity. So I feel like a lot of us have a sense of what not to do, you know, or we know who we don't want to be. But I'm curious, have you seen examples of people doing that well? Or can you think of, you know, ways that when we think about our church, you're like, I think we could be a little more open. I think we could be a little more honest in certain areas.
I think our church does a great job being good neighbors in our community. Mm. And I think a lot of things can spring up organically from that when you just get to know a person just as a person outside of church, outside of spirituality, just being there for someone, being a good neighbor. I think that building those relationships will open up doors and opportunities to talk about your faith. And when you've got that chance, I think we just need to go for it instead of maybe say, oh, I kind of missed it and think about it tomorrow. And then and the opportunity's gone. I think we got to be ready for that.
No, that's good. I think that's a good point. Like, people want to know that you care about them outside of a, you know, quote unquote agenda.
Yeah.
And if people feel like we're only interested in conversions or, you know, scoring a point or something, then that becomes very clear very quickly.
Right.
So I think loving our neighbor without strings attached and trusting that God's going to use that in some way.
Right.
I think that's probably the best advice we could give.
Right. And you had a story about a neighbor in Kalamazoo, right? That you just kind of built up a long relationship with.
Yeah, we had a couple of friends in Kalamazoo that weren't part of the church. And, you know, at the end of 5 years living there, nobody had started coming to our church. But we had some great conversations and I think really helpful and respectful conversations. At least I felt like they went that way. I don't know. Maybe my friends are listening and they would say, no, that's not the case. But it just happened organically over time as we got to know them and they got to know us.
Right. It's more about being a relatable person first.
Yeah.
To be able to relate your faith to them.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, AJ. We are at that time in the podcast where we want to go a little bit further in depth than what the sermon touched on this last Sunday. As always, there's some things that fell on the cutting room floor, if you will. What about this last Sunday? What were some things that you wish you had time to talk about?
Yeah, in terms of the passage, I think we actually were able to cover most of the main stuff this week. At one point, I was, because we were talking about our openness to conflict or confrontational types of conversations. And at one point I was thinking about, you know, those kind of pivotal moments that all of us have had where a parent or a coach or maybe even one of your friends had to sit you down and say, hey, this is what I see and it's not good. Or, hey, I know you're better than this and help me understand why this is happening. And, you know, we don't like those conversations, but we remember them. And I bet most of us would be able to say, I can remember the time somebody sat me down and it hurt and it was hard, but I'm really glad they did. That helped make me who I am. And so, yeah, when we think about conversations about faith, we think about, you know, being open and kind of seeing what happens, knowing that that could be uncomfortable, to remember that sometimes those uncomfortable moments can become some of the most memorable, that if we're willing to push through that, we can really get into each other's lives. And I think just in the American church in general, we're very comfortable putting on the face and saying, everything's good here, you know, nothing to talk about, nothing to see here. And for us to just be more open and more honest can only help.
Looking forward to next Sunday, what can we expect to hear out of our next study of the book of Acts?
Yep, we're going to finish chapter 4. Which shows what happens right after this scene. So Peter and John return back to home base and they tell the other Christians what's happened. They know that the pressure is really going to begin to mount against them and they respond by praying and just really kind of doubling down and praying for courage and boldness to continue doing what God has called them to do. So we're going to talk about our own dependence on God, our need to turn to God for all that we hope this church to be and all that we want to see happen. We're not good enough or smart enough or strong enough to figure it out on our own. We have to be people who pray and pray often. So I think it's going to be a good one.
Are there some things during this week that we can be challenging ourselves with before we get to Sunday?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things that we can be doing is just continuing to kind of pay attention to what's going on in our own minds and hearts. When are we most self-conscious about our faith? Or when do we maybe feel the most hesitant to be honest or to be open about what we believe and how we feel like we should be living. You know, are there situations where we find ourselves compromising? I mentioned a few weeks ago, do we talk the same way in the shop as the sanctuary? You know, do we treat our employees the way we treat our spouse, the way we treat the guy we run into on the street? Or do we kind of fall into favoritism? You know, are we loving people consistently and doing what God wants us to do consistently? And for all of us, there's going to be, you know, areas that we need to grow in that. And I think it's helpful to just pay attention and kind of notice if there's patterns or trends. Where is it that I'm most being challenged?
Well, that's going to wrap it up here today at the 4130 show. Again, the 4130 is named after our church address, 4130 Wilson. You can find out more about our church on our website. It's going to be... This cracks me up every time I do this. I'm just going to... SouthGranvilleChurch.org. Everybody, you don't need the W's. SouthGranvilleChurch.org/podcast is where you can find more info on our podcast. And if you'd like to email us any of your suggestions, comments, or questions, or you'd like to be a guest on our show, email us at the4130show@southgranvillechurch.org.
If you'd like to listen to past episodes, you can find them on iTunes, Spotify, or pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We want to say thank you for listening, and please continue sharing with anybody you think would enjoy the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time.
That was a wrap. You did it.
I think I said that weird. We'll see you next time.
That's a question.
Yeah. I'm Ron Burgundy.